Thank you for joining us for another episode of Sales with Aslan. We thought with Valentine's Day this week, we would talk about the most innate human need we all have, which is to have successful relationships, whether it's at home, with our friends, or at work. Relationship determines influence. Relationship also determines probably our happiness. You're never happier than your relationships. So we went to the vault, and we're sharing one of our more popular episodes that unpacks the formula that determines the quality of every relationship. So enjoy this conversation with Scott Cassidy and Aslan's partner, Mark Lamson.
So I know this is an interesting topic. It's a little bit softer side of selling, but I think important for us to talk about, you know, the fact that when the world changed about a year ago, it's coming up on a year, and everything went virtual, you know, maintaining relationships of all sorts got more difficult. And at least it might have. And so we want to talk today about how to, you know, pick up on those little nuances and those things that make someone feel the deepest need that they have, which is to be respected and to be heard and some of those types of things. And so we're going to go through, you know, a little bit of an education on that I'm hoping will help, like I said, inside sales, outside sales, account managers, all the different types of people that exist in our profession. So what do you got for us today? Kick us off.
Well, the problem we're solving for is relationships. So you hit it at the beginning, right? A lot of us are B2B sellers, but even high level, six figure, whatever you do, B2B selling still happens person to person. There's a salesperson at the core. It's a part of a team. There's a decision maker at the core or decision makers you run into along the way. And those relationships are still one-to-one. They're still people to people. And people have a need. You mentioned this greatest and deepest need. And if we unpack all the layers of, we help their business needs, you know, stated needs, we help address their unstated business needs. But at the core, people have an emotional need, unstated emotional need to feel appreciated, to feel unique, uniquely valued. When we go to our local restaurant and we know the manager and they give us the special seat, when we're calling someone in the call center and they're doing something special, people don't want to be treated like every other person. They want to be treated special and unique. And there's some ways to do that that drives relationships. And by the way, not just to make the sale,
right,
but fulfilling, meaningful, good relationships. And it's harder virtually. And honestly, I would say we stumbled onto this topic in a few different ways. And I think the driver of this is, as we were thinking about things, I ran into the quote that people don't remember what you said,
right,
but they remember how you made them feel. And in honor of Black History Month, we're recording this in February, because I know this podcast continues to play years afterwards its syndication.
Absolutely.
I mean, so I want to be clear. This is February of 21. I hope I say her name right, because I listened to it in Wikipedia. Maya Angelou has a U on the end, but it's Maya Angelou. Passed away in 2014. A lot of books, famous author, amazing civil rights activist. She has a really, really interesting story. She's a writer, and she went, again, I'm going to say this word wrong because I'm not a writer and my vocabulary is bad. She went mute for 5 years. She was sexually abused as a child. She accused the person who assaulted her. They tried him, and he was convicted. He spent one day in jail. He got out, and then he was shot, obviously, by someone. This is the Deep South in the 40s, right?
Yeah.
She didn't talk for 5 years because she was afraid that her voice, she said his name, and he got killed. She was afraid her voice would kill people. This is crazy. This is powerful stuff that people have. So let's respect Maya and honor her and talk about, people don't remember what you said. They remember how you made them feel. How do customers want to feel? They want to feel good. People want to feel good. So the question on the table is, how do we make customers virtually feel good about you, about working with you?
Yeah, no, it's a great decision. And I love what you said there, because we do not want this to be a gimmick or a trick or a tip. This is about a mind shift, like we talk about so much on the program, to really shifting the way you are taking another centered approach to your customer. And to do that, we've got a little formula that I think will make some sense to you to help people feel that deepest level of fulfillment, that feeling of their deepest emotional need being satisfied. So let's go through it.
Yeah, I think we talk about it. It's we talk about other-centered, and I would get on my soapbox and say it's about being other-centered, not acting other-centered or doing other-centered things or saying things like right. You're other-centered. But it starts in your heart, and there's really two steps. So the formula, the two steps, it starts with making a decision, and we've talked about that before. You have to stop, and we're naturally pointed towards serving ourselves, taking care of ourselves, thinking of our needs first. And so you have to stop and say, I'm going to put my needs, I'm going to put my problems, my issues, how I feel, my back hurts because I didn't sleep right. I have a problem, you know, with my kids, my bill. Like, you have all these things. Our brains never shut off. The ability to just shut that off and say, I'm going to close my eyes, visualize or see via Zoom the other person I'm talking to and make a decision to serve them. And that's your heart. And that's really, that allows you to do what we said. The takeaway, the scribble, the cocktail napkin from this podcast is serve more. We say serve more to the third power, serve more cubed, serve more three. I don't know. Serve more to the third
power. Talk to the marketing guy about that. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, he can't get our podcast name right. So what would he know about?
That's so good.
That is math. So good. Yeah, here's the napkin. You ready? It's three steps. Care more, learn more, do more. Mm-hmm. Care more, learn more, do more is serving more. And that's really all we want to be able to do and be able to unpack. It starts with making a decision, and that's what care is all about. But at the end of the day, I'll just jump to an example that I just have in my hand.
Love it.
We're on Zoom. We're doing a Zoom podcast. You can see this. You know what this is?
I can see that. That is a, let me describe that. That is a lobster claw bottle opener.
Yep. Right? See how that worked?
Yes.
I have that. I went downstairs to get a beer, and in my little drawer where you have these types of utensils, I don't know what exactly category
that is. Is that a junk drawer? No. What would you call that?
I don't know what that is, but it's it's the same drawer that you have your bottle opener in.
Yeah.
It's my bottle opener. Gentleman by the name of Adam Compton gave this to me 12 years ago.
Yeah.
Who decided to serve me more because he knew that we were talking about doing lobster. And I was teaching him how to do lobsters and catch lobsters. I have some lobster traps. I go out in the summer. And he went and he cared to pay attention to what was important to me. He learned I like to do lobstering and drink beer. And so what he did, he cared, he learned, and because of that, he was able to go find which is not a difficult find in New England, a lobster claw bottle opener. And I have opened every bottle of beer in my kitchen, in my house, for the last 12 years with this bottle opener. And every time I do, I think about Adam, and I think about when we went out lobstering and how fun that was. And that's really freaking cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
And he's not selling me anything, but this is the basis. We're letting life go by us. And as sellers, you pick up the phone, you make a sales call, you go visit people. When we get back to that, you do virtual calls and you stop and think about what the other person is really, what's really going on. Do you stop and decide to listen and watch and see and hear and ask for all the cues that are being offered about what's unique about them and then pay attention to what's different and then remind them that you're paying attention to what's unique and do something small. So we have lots of stories. I think we decided that's boring. That's boring conversation, but it's true. So let's tell some stories.
Well, and I love that because first of all, we're talking about the human aspect of selling. And so this, although we talked to, you know, sales reps for the majority of these podcasts, this is so applicable to us as humans in our personal relationships. It's applicable to the sales leaders that are listening to this because think about this. If you care more so you learn more and you do more for your reps, think about the loyalty that creates, not as a gimmick and again, not as a tip or a trick. This is all about you genuinely care about your reps to learn what's important to them and what's behind that paycheck. Why are they motivated by that paycheck? What's the important things they go and buy with that? Do they take care of a family? Do they want to buy something? And you learn those types of things and then you can you can make a difference in helping them achieve that because they're achieving their own personal goals. And so I think just as such a great topic for everybody that hears this, this cast. Let's get another story. You want to go next? Or you want me to take one?
Well, I'll start with a story. I read somewhere that a podcast, 10 minutes is when people start to fall off of the podcast. So it's been 10 and a half minutes since we've started, I think, give or take. And so if you're thinking about falling off, I'm going to put a little qualifier out there. You ready? We just passed Valentine's Day.
Ooh, yeah.
So I guess I'm a guy, so I can only speak to the guys that are buying Valentine's gifts for you know, women in their lives. That's my world, so that's all I can speak to.
Yeah.
But you can apply wherever you are. If you bought chocolates and flowers and that's all you bought, I mean, forgive me. I don't want to offend people here, but I do want to speak the truth. If all you bought was the box of CVS chocolates and flowers at the supermarket, then you are failing at giving people
this is hurtful.
At serving more.
This is hurtful. This is
fail. So whether you're on the podcast right now or whether you're
listening
to it.
So what if they're organic heart-shaped chocolates, dark chocolates, very healthy from Whole Foods?
You have to explain it. If that's you have to explain the gift, this is about good gift giving. See, the people in your life, look around people in your family who are really good gift givers. You know who I mean. Mm-hmm. You're like, God, that was so thoughtful. I don't mean extravagant big dollar items. I mean, gosh, I remember, you know, saying something 2 years ago about that. I mean, this happens to me a lot with people in my life that are just serving me, and serving me is the wrong word. They make me feel really good.
Yeah.
For Father's Day, I got glasses with my boat name on them. It was kind of a really cool, and it was something I'd mentioned. Someone had it. I'm like, oh, that's really cool. It was like 3 or 4 years ago, and she tucked it away.
Yeah.
And I got these little glasses that were the perfect size, just the way I like for bourbon. And I opened it up and I teared up because it's not the glass. It's not the glass. They weren't even expensive. They're not even that fancy. It's just like, you remembered that. You remembered that I wanted those. Mm-hmm. And that means someone cares who's paying attention to learn to do something unique. So that's an internal story. I'll tell a short sales story. You ready?
Okay. Yeah.
True story. This is, goes back a long time. One of the accounts, we did business with a company, a division of Starwood Hotels called Bliss Spa.
Mm.
I think it's been long enough to be able to use their name. And
I hope so. We don't have a bleep capability.
In every email, everything I've ever saw or read, Bliss was with a small B, not a capital.
Mm.
And so whenever I wrote Bliss Spa, I'd always like write a small B. And then the damn autocorrect would keep correcting it to capital B because it's the beginning of a sentence. So I have to do the extra step of backing it up and, I mean, you know, hundreds of extra keystrokes in my life. And I always wrote with a small B. After we started working with them, they said, you know why in part we're working with you? Because you are the only person that constantly sends us a note with a small B without us telling you. I said, thanks. I don't know what to say. I'm like, well, it's important to you, so it becomes important to me. And they said, you know why it's important? I said, no, I'm sure there's a reason. I said, yeah, this is about a spa. This is about relaxation. We don't want to start with a capital B because that's too bold. It's too strong. We want a soft experience. And so there you have it. Small B. Does that help you win an account? I don't know. How long did it take for me to do that?
Not long.
Zero.
Not long. Until your autocorrect drove you crazy.
Well, you have to add it to the dictionary. It's a technical thing. It's complicated.
Does that mean we're brash because we have all caps in Aslan? Okay. Yeah.
Honestly, you want to be honest?
Yeah.
Because when it's spelled with a small L, it looks like Asian and people get confused about what's the purpose of our training.
Yeah. No, that makes complete sense. And now everybody knows why Aslan is all caps. That's important. It's important. All right. What are some other examples of ways that we can sort of, you know, do the serve more model?
Yeah, here's small things. Yeah. So here's like a quick checklist for reps that you can start to get your feet red in this, right? You call somebody or you email somebody their email says, I'm away on vacation. You know, I'm out of the office, whatever they say. I'm out of the office. I'll be back March 3rd. When do you call them? Well, if you're an eager beaver, aggressive salesperson who cares about his or her commission, you call them and you hound their ass on the third.
Yeah.
Because that's when they're back and I want to talk about selling you stuff. If you're other centered, you stop and you realize that when you come back, you have 100 emails and you're flooded and you're busy. And so you don't call on the third and you don't call on the fourth. You call on the fifth and you say or email, I wanted to give you a couple of days. I know you were away. I wanted to give you a couple of days to get caught up before I called you. I can't tell you how many people have said thank you. That's very refreshing and unique. And it's just true. It's just taking that second. When you pick up the phone or you start meeting somebody and they say, hey, well, you know, I got a hard stop at four because I have to go fill in the blank. I have to go to lunch with a friend or I'm leaving for my kid's baseball game or whatever that might be. I say, start, you know, end how you started. So that's what they said. And when you're a sales, self-centered, typical salespeople, listen to that and it's noise, it's static. It's like, I don't really care what you're doing afterwards. I want to pay attention. I want to tell you what I'm telling you right now. Other centered people realize the person that we're talking to is a mother or father and as a child who's going to play a sports game. And when you're done, like you're connecting and say, hey, by the way, like good luck at the game. I hope they win.
I love
like,
it.
Oh, they were pitch. Oh, I'm getting just it's, and again, I don't know how to say this. You can't fake that. If you just say the words and it's insincere, it's awful. If you mean it and believe it, people notice. I was watching Shark Tank the other night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can say what you want about the Sharks if you watch Shark Tank, but they're investors there to make money. Guy was out there. He had a decent idea, but he was just uber other-centered, transparent. He knew about the people, and they just stopped and said, this is so refreshing for you to just think about others. This is so different. We so want to work with you, you know. So, you know, asking people how they want to do, you know, hey, it seems like you prefer email over text. Yeah, I do. So I'll just send you, thank you so much for noticing. I'm Mark with a C. Yeah. I'm Mark with a C. I'm amazed at how many people like, and by the way, it's email. Like sending me a note and guessing it's a K, that's totally cool. But once I reply with an email and it says C, it's not difficult.
No.
And I'm amazed. No.
You know, you remember one you taught me years ago with the calendar, right? You know how you've always got a subject of the meeting, right?
Great example.
Yeah. And one of the things that we talked about years ago was, you know, put what's important in the subject to the person you're sending it to, not what's important and going to trigger your memory in your own calendar. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if I'm dealing with somebody, I might say Aslan training discussion, even though that doesn't help me out at all, but that's probably exactly what they need to know to come into the meeting with some preparation in mind, right? And so make sure you set your calendar invites up to be other-centered, to be something that's going to, you know, trigger their memory of what this meeting is about. It actually really benefits them and it benefits you too because they come in a little more prepared. So that's a nice little tip we learned from Mr. Lamson years ago. What else?
Hey, it's just remember, I know it's more of the same, but what I think the purpose of the stories is to encourage people
that just
this is not some big, long, drawn-out relationship that you have. This is happens in seconds with people as you listen and talk to them. You pick up what's unique. You know, we've all been taught different personality styles, whether it's DISC profiles or we talk about task or relational. Remember, this is important. This is not about being we would use the word relational. This is not about making it personal with people because a lot of salespeople think that, you know, relationship skills are about warming them up. How about the weather? You know, how's the weather in Chicago? Or, you know, like they worry about the personal details.
Yeah.
And there's two types. There's lots of types of people, but we said there's two types. There's task or relational. Task, put the job at hand. They want to be to the point, get it done, and not really involve a lot of, they'll say, I'm out of the office, versus, and they're not interested in telling you they're going on vacation and where they're going and where the resort and how long they're staying, and they're not interested in hearing your input to their vacation. There's other people who are relational, and they do want to get to know the other person, and they do want to know things about you, and they want you to know things about them. They want to tell stories. They want to say where they are, and culturally, that's different around the globe. I mean, different countries in Asia and China, it's about understanding the person and the family before we get down to business. In other places, that's the opposite. So this does not mean go make small talk with your customers.
Right. Yeah.
It means recognize what's their preferred style and then respond to that. If you're both relational, great. But if they're a task, you can say things like, well, let me get to the point and save time. Let me put this in a spreadsheet if that would be easier, because it seems like that's how you like to work. And people are like, thank you so much. You're stopping to say, this is important. You have dinner with someone. God, remember when you used to go out to dinner with people?
I do.
But remembering, when they order a drink or a glass of wine.
Yeah.
Just remember what they order. Okay. You can remember it till the end of the night. When you go to the bathroom, make a note. This doesn't mean you have a special memory. It means when you pay attention to people, you can remember it. So jot it down somewhere. The next time you go to dinner, just say to them, are you going to order another VO Manhattan straight up? Yeah. And you know what story just popped in my head. Just
oh,
now.
My God. You're going to tell it. I remember this.
Can we say names on this?
I think so. He's a good friend of the program.
Mike Musciati. Call out to Mike Musciati. I'm sure we told him this story or not.
I can't remember if we've told this here before. This is amazing memory is what this is.
Well, I'll try to make it a short story because, again, the purpose is not to tell stories. It's to give the sellers and those who help those who sell for a living ideas that they can apply.
Yep.
You and I leave work.
We go to a hour. Reasonable hour.
Reasonable hour. Go to a bar to have a little like snack, a drink, and talk work.
Yeah.
Bartender comes up, gets you guys a drink. You ordered a Blue Moon with an orange, and I ordered a VO Manhattan straight up.
That's it.
Sounds good. They were delicious. We had that. We just had one. We went home. All was good. I don't know. 2-3 weeks later, we pull up to the same bar, start talking. He walks up to us. Same guy. I remembered him.
Yeah.
And he said, hey, guys, and by the way, we bought one drink. He said, hey, guys, let me see if I remember. Blue Moon Orange, VO Manhattan up. We're like, oh, my God. Now, it means he has a good memory, but what it really means is he cares about the only reason he can remember is he cares about what we're doing.
Lock it in.
Versus the next drink or what tip are they going to give me or whatever it might be.
Well, I don't know if you remember the third time. So this was another 2-3, maybe a month later, whatever. Before we even got to the bar, he yells across the bar, another Blue Moon, Mr. Cassidy?
I think so.
And a VO Manhattan, Mr. Lamson? So now he's got the name and the drink. I mean, it was so good.
And here's how this – so that's the fulfilling part, right? Yeah. Our belief is other-centered sellers – are more fulfilled. We feel better about the people we're helping, people we're serving. We feel good about us. It carries into our personal lives. We show our families how to be other-centered and serve others. But it's more effective because, see, now that's how it made us feel. Like, holy cow, that guy is really other-centered. He really is a good guy. And so here's the backstory. At the time, our company was hiring engineers who had engineering degrees who maybe didn't really want to be an engineer, but were interested in selling. Right.
And our included.
This is crazy. I want you to hear this. It was focused on electrical engineers because we were a battery, UPS company, looking for engineers that didn't really want to be engineers and wanted to start a career in sales. That's what's going on behind the scenes. We didn't say that to anybody. So we said, hey, man, what's your deal? He's like, I'm Mike Musciati. Yeah. What are you doing here at Tendon Bar? What's going on? He's like, well, I just graduated from URI with an electrical engineering degree. But I don't want to do engineering, and I'm thinking about doing something in sales. I mean, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
We're like, well, how would you? So you and I were doing the hiring.
Yeah.
Well, how would you like to come to the office for an interview? And now Mike went there and crushed it, moved on to New York, moved on to another company, and he's just had a great career.
Yeah.
And he's had a great career because he's another center guy who remembers, not just remembered our drink, but he cares about the other person.
I was going to say there was no selfish intent in why he did that, but that lit us up enough to give him a shot, and that's all he needed, and he wound up with a very a very very good sales path after that.
There's a lot of products that are the same. We all look the same behind Zoom and all those things, and the way to stand out is how you make people feel. And the way you make people feel is you care about them. You serve them more.
You know, just a quick, easy one, because you mentioned Zoom. You know, this vendor of ours that started out as just a vendor, now I would consider a friend, just Jenna, when she was presenting some information to us on Zoom, when Tom was on, she kind of noticed Tom in the video looked perplexed. You remember the story? And she kind of says, hold on one second. Tom, it looks like you might have some questions. Can I answer any questions for you? And Tom was like, blown away. Like, how many reps actually are watching your body language on Zoom? And it made such an impact on him because she cared enough to stop her pitch, ask if there was some challenging areas that we needed to sort of double back on. And, we did wind up doing business with the company because of it. And I think it's an important aspect of transitioning that bar story into, you can do this in a virtual environment. It's not rocket science. It just takes some thoughtfulness. And I love how you've laid it out. Any other quick stories before we wrap up?
No, I would just, maybe a quick story, just quick story and a quick home application. Paying attention to people is by itself unique. People don't pay attention. Even if you're selling, it's like, I'm just trying to get to the part. I know we're trying to listen in discovery, but we're worried about our next question. We're worried about what we're going to sell. We're worried about how the commission's going to be. I just had a devotional the other day that just said, be present. Just be present. Just be here. True story. This summer, I'm on a boat somewhere fishing. Two guys, one guy I know, one guy I don't know. I'm like, hey, let's call him Matt and Tommy. I know Tommy. I don't know Matt. Say, hey, Tommy, how'd you guys meet? He's like, well, Matt, you tell the story. So Matt starts talking. And he's like, well, you know, I moved to New England and blah, blah, blah. It was the 4th of July. And I had car trouble. And I was on the side of the road with my family. And this and that. The other thing, it was dark and it was night. And all of a sudden, this car pulls over. And, well, Tommy, you pick it up because you're the car. And Tommy's like, okay, you know. He's like, yeah, I was driving. And it looked really dangerous because there was slush on the road. And I had a hard time getting off the road. And I'm like, well, hold on a second. What? Like, wait. Didn't you just say it was the 4th of July weekend and you just said slush? Like, time out. These guys start laughing, right? These guys have known each other forever and that's their like shtick.
Yeah.
And they have this little story. And we went on to talk and they said, you know, we tell that story all the time and nobody has ever said
slush. Yeah.
That says that they're putting two and two together about their snow and slush on the road in New England in July.
Yeah.
And so we started laughing. It's like a testament to society. Like, we just are going through the motions. So don't go through the motions. The takeaway at home is go focus on being a better gift giver to the people you love and care about. When you're out with your spouse or your kids or your relatives or your good friends, pay attention to what you look at, to what you talk about. When you're doing the mall and they go in and look at a dress and they put it back and they don't want it, like, it doesn't mean, you know, they want it, but it's too expensive. Like, just pay attention to these things and write them down and then go back and get them and give them for, don't just keep moving through. Pay attention. If it's important for people you care about, if it's important to them, it's important to you. If you decide to care about your customers, about the others in your life, you'll learn what's important and you'll be able to do things to demonstrate that you're other-centered and to make them feel, to meet their greatest and deepest need is to be uniquely valued.
Unique and special. I love it. All right. Did you want to give a little homework? A nice YouTube video, I think, is a good one that it sort of exhibits all of this.
I will. It's something we play in part of our training.
Yeah.
But we'll use it here to highlight, you know, connecting with someone at a personal level that's maybe very difficult to do. Mm-hmm. Also, I want to honor Black History Month, and you're going to put me on the spot here for her actual name.
Well, I do think if you just Google those
yeah,
keywords.
Yeah, I know for sure. If you go to YouTube, you want to watch a 3-minute video that does this to a T, go to YouTube and Google Hidden Figures Judge. I tried this.
Yeah.
Hidden Figures, recent movie, and Hidden Figures Judge. It's a judge scene.
Yeah.
And the first African-American woman to be part of NASA was an engineer that basically revolutionized our space program.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a crossroads that she wasn't allowed to attend a segregated school, and she had to go in front of a judge. And she, the way she did her homework and the way she talked to him is the epitome of learning, caring and learning about people, and how it made a judge who decides on the rules and decides on the law and is supposed to be as unfeeling as they come. It's about the impact that we have on others and how we make them feel. So that's your 3-minute homework. Have fun
great,
doing it. And
great
go
homework
rent the movie.
Assignment.
Go rent the movie.
And the movie's, yeah, amazing. Wonderful movie.
Yeah, it's a really good movie.
Just saw it actually last year. So make sure you go do that. And make sure you get out and share this podcast, download it, subscribe, make sure your friends are aware of it. We do this for you guys. We want salespeople to be fulfilled in their careers. And we hope little things like this are helpful in not only making your life more fulfilling, but those of the customers that you serve. We will see you in another week on our next episode of Sales with Aslan.